In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our sermon text, our gospel reading, Matthew, the 25th chapter. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, no doubt you have heard the age-old adage, safety first. You probably heard it many times from your parents growing up. If you work in a building of employment, then you know OSHA says it to you all the time, right? Safety first. You hear it on older cartoons like Bob the Builder, and you even see it when you're out shopping. They're in the baby aisles with all the locks for toilets and cabinets and doors and stairs. The company name appears. Safety first. That's our motto. Safety first. It's our philosophy. And in truth, it does seem like a reasonable approach to life, does it not? It is also the philosophy of one of the characters in today's parable that Jesus tells. For you see, the master has three servants, and as he is going on a journey, he entrusts each of those servants with his wealth. To one, he gives 5 talents. To another, he gives 2 talents, to another, still 1. And the 5 talents goes and he risks everything and he makes 5 talents more. Similarly, the 2 talents goes and risks everything and receives 2 talents more. Both 100% invested, 100% returned. But then comes the third servant. Recorded for you in verse 18, he who had received 1 talent went, dug in the ground, and hid his master's money. Apparently, this servant is taking that safety first approach. He'll keep it safe. He'll keep it sound. No risk. There's no Ponzi scheme to be had here. No risky investment in a stock market. No bad real estate investment that could go south. Just bury it. Hide it in the ground. It's safe there. That's the motto. Safety first. Well, you know the story, how it goes. The master returns and he actually calls to account the servants. He requires an accounting. And the one who had 5 talents comes forward with 10 and says, here, I have made 5 more. And the master commends him. Well done, good and faithful servant. So the 2 brings forth 4, also commended by the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. But the 3rd comes forward. And you know the story. He who also who had received 1 talent said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed, so I was afraid. And I hid your gold in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. All right. I was afraid. There it is, isn't it? That's the motive. The motive is fear. And so the result is he does absolutely nothing. He does the safe thing. He buries it all in the ground. That's the parable. You know it. But what is this parable actually about? Well, I'll tell you this. It's not about bank accounts. It's not about Jesus telling you how to invest your money in the stock market. It's not a conversation about financial advice or investments at all. No, if you back up to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, it begins with these words, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so this parable is about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' reign and presence here on earth, and then when he comes again in glory on the last day. And to understand its meaning, I really think you got to back up even further to the previous chapter in Matthew chapter 24, where we are told that this is a private discussion that he is having face to face with his disciples. Jesus is literally speaking to those whom he is about to send on a mission. And so the question is, just what has Jesus entrusted to these disciples whom he is going to send out? What are they responsible for? Well, if you read the 2 chapters, then you know that it is the gospel. It is Christ's ministry, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. And they, the disciples, are to use all that they are and all that they have for the proclamation of Jesus as they go out. And that, dear saints, that is what has been entrusted to you and to me as well. It is the gospel, God's mission to seek and to save those who are lost through the innocent suffering and bitter death of our Lord Jesus, high and lifted up upon the cross. He also has given you every resource, every talent that you have in this world. A voice, a body with hands and feet, all the things that you have. He's given you a job, given you co-workers, given you children, given you grandchildren. Still, he also has given food and clothing, house and home, you name it. All that you have and all that you are is a gift of the God entrusted to you. Those are your talents, and you are to use them in service to the very proclamation of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, for the forgiveness of sins in the life of this world. All that has been entrusted to you, that's what you and I are responsible for. Now, I will grant you in truth that we are not all given the same amount of talents, are we? Not everyone has the same vocation. Not everyone has the same calling. Not everyone has the same job. Not everyone has the same abilities in this life. Some are pastors, others teachers, others farmers, others some sort of employee, others parents, some children. All children who are here, right? But some parents, still others grandparents, some uncles, aunts, friends. All of us are citizens here in Lindgerwood, in North Dakota, and throughout the United States. And if that were too little, you have been given even that greater gift of being marked with the cross on your forehead and on your heart. You are a son of the living God. Everyone has been given different amounts of talents. But that doesn't mean you are any less responsible for what the Lord has been given you. God graciously gives you everything, and you're responsible for it. Sadly, though, many times in this world, our response to the gospel and our resources given to us to proclaim it are the same as the servant, the third servant in that parable. And the third servant's response is one of fear. Therefore, safety first. Play it safe. How often are you and I afraid to use our time? We got more important things to do, places to be, things we want in our lives. How often we fail to use our time to tell our friends and our neighbors, our co-workers and acquaintances about Jesus and all of his word, everything he says in it. We are afraid not only because we'll lose our precious time to do whatever we think we want to do in this world, but we are afraid we will lose those relationships too. We are afraid that we'll be cut off from the people we talk to. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to talk to us about that. We'll be in isolation. We'll be in loneliness. We'll lose every one of them forever. So no, around the Thanksgiving table, yeah, you're not going to talk politics. Maybe if you're bold, but I guarantee, oh boy, the two things that you don't talk about in life, politics and religion, because those will divide the family faster than you can say, divide this family, right? So we don't like to talk about those things. We're afraid to use those talents because maybe we just fear being laughed at, made fun of, ridiculed, or criticized for being a dumb, stupid, idiotic Christian who believes such archaic things as Christianity teaches. And we are afraid to use our treasure. We are afraid to use the money that God gives us because we fear we won't have enough. We won't have enough to pay our bills. We won't have enough to buy Christmas presents. We won't have enough to take a vacation or do whatever we want to do with it. We are afraid, and so we do nothing. And we remain silent, and we give far less than we could in our offerings or ought to give. We invest virtually nothing into the kingdom of God and his mission because in reality we are fearful. We do not fear, love, and trust in God above all things at all times and in all places. Often we care more about our relationships, our family, our friends, and acquaintances than we do about God. Often we care more about our reputation and our status and our money and our possessions than about the one who has given us these things. You want it more simply in the words of Luther? Daily, we break the first commandment. We sin much. We love the things that we have in this world, and they are far easier to cling to than that which God himself gives us. In today's parable, the servant played it safe, and so do we. There is one servant, though, in all of it. One servant who did not play it safe. The mission was risky, perilous, in all truth and honesty. The servant knew that the work of God, the very kingdom of God, is all about sacrifice. And he was willing to give it all up, relinquish his security, relinquish even the throne next to his father, relinquish all safety that he had. He was willing to give up everything in love and joy for you because God does not desire the death of a sinner. St. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, he, this Jesus, being in the very nature and form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself a little lower than the angels. Being found in human likeness and human appearance, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death upon the cross. Even when the path meant giving up his back, his head, his hands, his feet, his very life, he gave it all up in love and in joy for you. His whole life, he knew, would lead to this one moment. In love and joy for you, Jesus endured it all. Everything that he endured was always for you. He took your pain, he took your suffering, as he took mine as well. His mission was accomplished there on the cross. It was completed in love, a payment not of gold or silver, but every talent of every ounce of everything that he had, every drop of blood even. He loved you unto death, even death upon the cross. And so he suffered the spit. He suffered the fists. He suffered the mocking, the jeering, the nailing in the cross, even being stuffed away in a cold, lifeless tomb. He did all of that so he could deliver you and me, O repentant sinners of God, from sin and death and everlasting condemnation, so that he could be in your midst today, binding up your broken hearts and healing your wounds, saying to you, I forgive you all your sins, and I love you, and you are mine, to be in your midst, giving you pardon and peace. Pardon for our disobedience, pardon for our idolatry, forgiveness of all our sins, and peace with God and man. You heard it in 1 Thessalonians, God not angry at you, God not looking to punish you, and God not looking to condemn you, but to grant you his mercy and forgiveness and love, that which we do not deserve, but that which he freely gives. But you also know death was not the final word. Paul continues this proclamation in Philippians, the second chapter. He says, therefore God has highly exalted him, meaning Jesus, and given him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father on earth, in heaven, and under the earth. God has highly exalted him, this Jesus, the Christ, our Savior. That resurrection is a triumphal victory of our God. It is an approval of the Father for the Son, that all, in fact, is finished. All is completed. Your prayer that you uttered on the cross for these, my people, Father, forgive them, is answered now today in full. I forgive them. Rise, my dear son, and enter into your glory. God has exalted this Jesus and given him the name above all names. And in a very real sense, that resurrection is the Father looking at the Son and saying, well done, good and faithful suffering servant. Come and enter into the joy of the Father, the joy of your Master. God sending the Son in the power of the Spirit to redeem us by the Spirit through the Son, reconciling us to the Father. Safety first? Yeah, okay, I guess in one sense, if you want to get technical. Safety first and foremost in this. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Because in this Jesus, you and I are safe. We are secure. Today, your sins are forgiven. Today, you have peace with God because of the sacrificial death of this servant who loved you unto death. even death upon the cross. Today and every day hereafter, heaven stands wide open for you, and the generous Father welcomes you into his loving embrace, embracing each and every one of you as his dear children. And in that grace, and in that security that you and I have, we can boldly go forth. We can step out of these doors into this mission field and use the very gifts that God has given to us to proclaim the excellencies of this Jesus who has called us out of the darkness into the marvelous light of his salvation, so that all people might actually hear that there is no salvation in Jesus, in anyone else except Jesus. Only are you saved in Jesus Christ. And in hearing that message, they may repent and turn to him and live. God has not given you a spirit of timidity. He has not. He has given you his Holy Spirit, emboldened, enlivened, empowered in love and self-control. That's who you are. For the Spirit of God dwells in you. Therefore, be bold, dear Christian. Be bold, even if it costs you. Come to church every week without fail to hear God's message of salvation for you and Jesus Christ. I know it's going to cost you your time. I know it's going to cost you whatever you want to do out there in the field. I know it's going to cost you vacation time. I know it's going to cost you stuff at the lake. I know it's going to cost you sporting events and music events. Be bold, Christian. Come to church and hear the word of Christ. Be who you are. Give generously to the offering of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with you and for your spouse, for your children, for your grandchildren. Yeah, you might not dig into the plate of food right away. It might cost you a minute or more to simply speak and render thanks unto the Lord. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord. You give them their food at the proper time. You open their hand. You satisfy the desires of everything, every living thing. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bountiful goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be bold. Give up time in your day to read the Word of God, to study it, to read, mark, and inwardly digest it. Be bold. Sit down with your children and teach them. Have devotions with them. Let them know of the stories of your Savior and theirs. Be bold. Forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you forgive. You love one another. Encourage your friends and your family to come here to Emmanuel. Be bold, for they need to sit next to you here in church. They need to see and hear you sing the hymns. Confess the faith. Receive forgiveness. They need to be surrounded by this cloud of witnesses that is running the race here and now today. Because as much as the Lord God loves each and every one of you, as much as he loved you unto death, even death on the cross, so much he loves your family and friends just the same. God does not desire the death of a sinner, but that all would turn and live. Safety first? No way. Not in the Christian life. Not in your Christian life, not in my Christian life. Christ first. Always, ever, only first. In Jesus, we live, we move, and we have our being. Every hour of every minute of every day, our life is hidden with God in Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, returns and appears in glory again, then we will be with him also. Then you will hear him say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little bit. Come, I set you over much. Enter in the joy of your master." In Jesus' name, amen.